Please remain standing for the Thanksgiving prayer. All loving Creator God, we give you thanks for new beginnings, for opportunities to spread the good news that you are God for everyone, a God who sits high and looks low, who moves in and among us. In the time of storms, we thank you for being a comforter in times of chaos. We thank you for being an agitator in times of apathy. And all along, God, we give you thanks for being a revolutionary lover in our lives. Amen.
Young or young at heart, you're invited up to the stage right now for a message for all ages.
First one again.
Thank you for helping spread the blanket. That's perfect. Now you can pop a seat right here on the blanket, guys. Soraya and Serena and Anthony and Miss Sarah too. Cannonball onto the blanket. Okay. So I have three signs here. Three different signs with three different names for God, but they're all connected to one God, the same God. Can I explain a little bit more? Yep, okay. So the first name I have says Yahweh, and this is the Hebrew name for God. This is what our Jewish friends use when they talk to God or talk about God. So in some ways, you might say they read backwards. What we might call backwards is just normal for them. They read from the right to the left direction. And it says Yahweh. Can you say that name for God for me? Yahweh. Nice job. Okay, so now our Muslim friends, this is the name they use for God. They say Allah, the Arabic name for God. And like our Jewish friends, they also read right to left. They also read right to left. Thank you, Tommy. You're tracking with me, dude. So can you say Allah for me?
Allah.
Allah. So we have two names for God, but we're still talking about the same God. So even if I just have the name God, this is what you might say if you're a Christian and you speak English. But what if you speak Spanish? You might say Dios.
Dios.
Say it for me. Dios. All of those, we're talking about the same God. The same one God, whether it's Yahweh in Hebrew or Allah in Arabic or God in English. We're all talking about the same person. Or maybe we wouldn't even say a person, the same being, maybe I would say. So we are also connected to our Jewish and Muslim friends through someone named Abraham. Jews, Muslims, and Christians are all connected to someone we might say is our great, 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 et cetera, et cetera. You took the greats out of my mouth. Grandfather Abraham. Say his name for me. Abraham.
Abraham.
Okay, but then there's also a great, 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 great grandmother Sarah. Say her name for me, Sarah. Jews, Muslims, and Christians, we're connected to one God with different names, and we're connected to great, 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 et cetera, et cetera. Great, 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 et cetera, et cetera, Abraham and Sarah, those great grandparents of these faiths. Isn't that pretty cool? So as you go back to school right now, and you might have Jewish friends and Muslim friends in your classes, know that we are connected. We are all worshiping one God, and we all are connected to these great, great, great grandparents too. You have a question?
I have a bunch of Jewish friends.
You have a bunch of Jewish friends. That's really cool.
I don't think I have any Muslim.
You don't have any Muslim friends? Well, maybe that's a challenge for you to make some Muslim friends in New York City. You have some Muslim friends and Jewish friends. What were you gonna say, Serena? You have some nice friends. I have some nice friends too, and some of them are Jewish and some of them are Muslim. Isn't that cool? And some of them are Christian. So let's think of these friends as we stand and let's pray together. And you can link up with the person next to you if you'd like.
This is a really tiny circle.
This is a tiny circle. That's because we have some friends who are at 9:30 and some who are here at 11:45 now. Let's pray. You can repeat after me. Dear Yahweh.
Dear Yahweh.
Dear Allah.
Dear Allah.
Dear God.
Dear God.
Thank you that we can talk to you.
Thank you that we can talk to you.
Just like our Muslim friends.
Just like our Muslim friends.
Just like our Jewish friends.
Just like our Jewish friends.
And our Christian friends too.
And our Christian friends too.
We worship one God together.
We worship one God together.
Amen.
Amen.
So, like you heard, we do have a 9:30 worship celebration, and after that, or before this one, we have kids in the middle. So grown-ups, take heed, it's in your bulletin, and young people up here, if you weren't here today, join us next week at 10:45, 10:50, we start for kids in the middle on the third and fourth floors. Let's sing Siyah Humba as we return to our seats.
Thank you. invite us all into a moment of reflection. Assalamu alaikum. Greetings of peace. In the name of God, most gracious, most merciful. One of the greatest poets, mystics, jurists, philosophers of all time, a man by the name of Jalaluddin Muhammad Rumi, who lived in the 1200s, taught us, "Your task is not to seek for love, but merely to seek and find all the barriers within yourself that you have built against it." Islamic spirituality also contains the idea that we can know God through 99 names, among them Al-Hayy, the ever-living, Al-Qayyum, the self-sustaining sustainer of all, and Al-Wadud, the loving, kind one. God's love is ever-present, always waiting at the doorway of our hearts. We don't have to go looking. Rumi tells us that it is this doorway that is usually closed. In the journey of love, of connecting to the ever-living love that is self-sustaining and sustains all, this journey starts with us looking at how we get in our own way. How we barricade our hearts, double lock them, create fortresses that are difficult to cross. God's love, ever present, is manifest to us through the people that God put into our lives. They are the mirrors of the love God has ready for us. And they also show us all the walls that you and I build against God's love. Many times we see people in our lives as instruments to serve our own needs, to boost our egos, promote our ideas, help us get ahead, get rich, get famous, get powerful. Even when we aim to do good, we can be guilty of instrumentalizing. We forget that we are mirrors of God's love. This is our human condition, to forget that we are God's instruments. As we reflect today on who we are, struggling with big questions of how we understand our history as a nation, our place on this earth, in the cosmos, and our relationship to the very diverse people who God placed as neighbors in this city, in our global village, my prayer is this. Dear God, you are everlasting, ever-sustaining, and ever-loving. We praise you and turn to you for nourishment and guidance. Help us to remember when we forget that your love is always available to us. Help us to see the people in our lives, our family, friends, colleagues, neighbors, leaders, and our earth as mirrors and signs of your love, its magnificence, and its abundance. When we encounter situations and people that bring us face to face with the barriers that we create to your love, when we feel signs of greed, self-righteousness, spitefulness in our hearts, help us remember we are only a doorstep away from your love. Grant us the ability to find and re-find the key and the courage to unlock the door, so that when we let your love back in, we can live in this world as a faithful instrument, channel, and reflection of you. Amen.
Sarah, thank you so much. And I want to invite all of us to continue to pray the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples. And you may stand if you're able and pray it in the language you know, the way you learned it, the cadence that's familiar, or in the inclusive version that's in your bulletin. Let us pray. Ever-loving and holy God, hallowed be your name. Your reign come,
your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory.
Yahweh, G-space-D, Allah, God, loves you, just as you are. So when you greet your neighbor, tell them, hey, you're loved. Peace be with you all.
Good morning, good afternoon, family. We got two services, y'all. This morning's scripture reading is going to come to us from Romans, the 12th chapter, verses 9 through 21. So in your pew backs, grab one of those lovely red Bibles. If you have the app, pull that out. To our kin folks on the interweb, Google it. And when you find the scripture, let's be corporate and just yell out love when you find it.
Love.
I'm confused. I thought I came the middle all the way from Inwood. When you find it, say love.
Love.
Thank you. Be sincere in your love for others. Hate everything that is evil and hold tight to everything good. Love each other as brothers and sisters and honor others less than you do yourselves. Never give up. Eagerly follow the Holy Spirit and serve the Lord. Let your hope make you glad. Be patient in your times of trouble and never, ever, ever stop praying. Take care of God's needy people and welcome strangers into their home. Now we should ask God to bless those who mistreated you. Ask him to bless them and not curse them. When others are happy, we should be happy with them. And when they're sad, be sad. Be friendly with everyone. Don't be so proud and feel that you know more than others. Make friends with ordinary people. Don't mistreat someone who's mistreated you, but try to earn the respect of others and do your best to live at peace with everyone. Now, dear friends, don't try to get even. Let God take vengeance. In the scriptures, the Lord says, I am the one to take revenge and pay them back. The scriptures also say, if your enemy is hungry, give them something to eat. If they're thirsty, give them something to drink. For in doing so, it's the same as adding burning coals to their head. And beloved, do not let evil defeat you, but defeat evil with good. This is the word of God for you, amazing people of God.
Amen. Don't you just think when Darren gets to read, you're like, scene, right? You're like, what? Whatever. That's that. But of course, I have something to say. So say a prayer with me. God, your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. We need so much to hear from you today. So may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I don't love preaching on the 9/11 moments. It's kind of hard. Some of us are like way over it. Let's stop talking about it. Some of us are really hurting and wounded, and many of us are in between. But I've been thinking about 9/11 and why they picked that day. And our sermon today is called In Case of Emergency. Love.
There is this notion of a sort of a separate club, and it's comprised of a different kind of love. What can you do? you pack your love and flee. That ain't love. Love is an action, a verb, not just a word. To abuse and take lightly, just said to be heard. And everyday actions and reactions are chances in making love active and not just a word. Mama shows me love. It's a kinetic love, for I am the product of an act based not in love. You see, she raised me with help from family, especially mommy's mommy. They showed such love. Love is an action, it's a verb, not a word. To abuse and take lightly, sort of said to be heard. And everyday actions and reactions are chances to make love active.
Thank you, Harold. Mom, this is Wells. I want you to know that I'm okay. This is the calm voicemail that Wells Remy Crowther, an equity trader, left for his mother, Allison, after the South Tower was struck by United Airlines Flight 175 on September 11, 2001. He was on the 104th floor and somehow found a stairway out and down and made his way down to the 78th floor. With his face covered with a red bandana just like the one his dad gave him when he was a seven-year-old kid, the red bandana that he kept in his pocket always, he covered his face with it, and he made at least three trips from the 78th floor back up. 10 of the 18 people who survived the towers were saved by that kid. He carried one woman down 17 flights of stairs and then went back up again. Those people who were saved followed the calm, strong voice of a young man shouting, "This is the way. This is the way." When the tower fell, Wells was in the lobby, it seems, with firemen who were planning to take tools upstairs to relieve people and let more of them out. He had been a volunteer firefighter when he was a young man, And 1 month before he died, he told his dad he was going to leave his lucrative business of selling stocks and apply to be a New York fireman. And in fact, the New York Fire Department posthumously made him a firefighter. On May 15th, 2014, when the 9/11 memorial was dedicated, Wells' mother, Allison, said, quote, "Wells believed that we're all connected as one human family, here to look out for and care for one another. This is life's most precious meaning. It's our greatest hope," she said, "that when people come here and see Wells' red bandana, they'll remember how people helped each other that day and be inspired to do the same in ways big and small. This is the true legacy of 9/11. So here we are again, facing another 9/11 with all of the memories it evokes. Our sorrow, our fear, our anger, our sense of insecurity. We mourn those we lost that day, and we mourn some other kind of thing, a loss of something, like peace or, I don't know, innocence. And we also mourn those who died due to injuries they suffered rescuing others or recovering the bodies of those who perished. We feel so vulnerable and so terrified that some of us have turned to terror. We take out our anxiety on our Muslim brothers and sisters. We wound them and our sick American brothers and sisters because they wear turbans and beards, and we're confused. We've hurt them. We've insulted them. Yep, we've even killed them. Not only that, while a war against terror rages in theaters abroad, terror rears its ugly head here. Six Sikh people worshiping in a Gurdwara were killed in Oak Creek. Nine African-American Christians killed in Charleston, gathering for worship, sitting in cafes, marching for peace. All over the nation, people turn cars and guns and knives and planes into bombs to destroy lives. Fear entrenches us in our silos. We retreat from one another. Here in this nation, we cling tenaciously to falsehoods that make us feel safe and strong and powerful. The lie of white supremacy, the ridiculous notion that this nation of immigrants should somehow erect a wall and close our borders or put people out, and the unbelievable prejudice that still exists against our LGBT family, especially trans people, and especially trans women of color. This anger, this hatred, fuels the fire of violence in this nation, just like those planes ignited a fire in the buildings that caused them to collapse. I'm worried that our hatred will cause our nation to collapse. We know those who planned the attacks on 9/11 picked that day so they could say, this is an emergency. Well, this is an emergency. We are in a state of emergency. Mother Earth is so pissed off at us because of the way we've used her seas as a toilet, the way we've polluted her air, the way we've dug her out from the inside, leaving her vulnerable, leading crazy storms that will only continue. That's an emergency. I don't mean to pick on POTUS, but let me pick on him. He is intent on pulling down every just and ethical statute erected to protect vulnerable people, brown people, black people, women, poor people, sick people, gay and lesbian and trans people. And he cares more about those statues that have been erected to commemorate treachery and lynching in white supremacy than human hearts. And let's not let Congress off the hook. The Republicans are so intent on dismantling anything that President Obama did, winning is more important than governing. And I'm a Democrat, but let me talk about my people. What kind of apathetic, non-imaginative, can't get it done Democrats are running the nation? I think I know, I'm wondering, and maybe you are too, where's the way out of the hot mess? Who knows how to get us to the door to get us down the stairs out of the burning building? Who will lead us to safety? This is an emergency, friends, and we need leadership right now to show us the way out. And I don't know if we can wait for the people in charge to get us there. I think we need to lead. I think we are the ones who know how to act in times of emergency. Maybe we haven't had to, like wells, go up and down, carrying people to safety, but we know what to do. In hot mess times, we pull together. We rescue each other from burning buildings, and we rescue each other from rising waters. We get on boats and take vacation day, and we scoop people up when the seas are coming. When the waters recede, we tear down moldy plaster, and we help people to rebuild. We board up windows together. We fly each other out of danger. We open our doors. We open our hearts. We stand up. We march. We sit in. We die in. We change the law. We have each other's backs. Why? Because we're human. And we understand that we are inextricably connected one to the other. And we understand that without each other, we simply cannot live. And so, though I believe our leaders need to lead us, I think we need to take a deep breath and put on some flame retardant and get into the hot mess and save each other. I'm split preaching on the 9/11 thing, you know? Sometimes I feel completely over it, and sometimes I think, what the hell? But no matter what, I want us to reclaim 9/11 as a day for us, a day to claim revolutionary love as a solution to the emergency. I want us to take 9/11 and heal it and heal ourselves. What do you think about that? So if 9/11 is Revolutionary Love Day, I want to give us a few things we can think about doing, practical things that can help us. First of all, I think we need to call upon our leaders, no matter where they are, north and south, to demand that they take down the statues and symbols of white supremacy that have been erected to terrorize black and brown people. Our friend Anjanou Ellis and our friend Genesis B have a nonprofit called Take It Down America that the Middle Project is incubating. And you can find their Facebook page, Take It Down America. They are not going to rest till every flag and every statue comes down. Don't let anybody lie to you and tell you that stuff's about history. They weren't built in 1892. They were built during Jim Crow. To remind people of lynching, to remind people that traitors put on white capes and masks and wreaked havoc upon a land. They need to come down too. While we're taking down the statues that remind us of hatred, I think we need to erect new monuments of freedom. And I By that I mean physical monuments, like let's celebrate Ella Baker, and let's celebrate Fannie Lou Hamer, and let's celebrate Rabbi Heschel. You know, let's celebrate the people in this land who have done amazing things to heal us. And I also mean let's create living monuments of freedom. Let's create relationships that testify to what we can do together when we connect to one another. Let's create legacies because we bond together and we don't let anybody turn us around. Living monuments of freedom. Third, and in this place, we're relating to one another, Black, white, Latino, Asian, straight, gay, Buddhist, Christian, atheist, Jew, Muslim, in this place, right? But let's take that circle of connection outside of here. Where's the relationship you need to make in your neighborhood? Where's the relationship you need to make in the marketplace, at work, at school? Who's the other that you need to know more deeply so we can grow our empathy muscle? Let's pick, I don't know, three people to connect to this year that we don't know that'll teach us about their lives and their stories so we can hold their thing in our heart, okay? Four, we who are a nation of immigrants, I know, how dare we? Like, how dare we imagine that we should build a wall against the people whose land this used to be? How dare we imagine that they wouldn't want to come get their stuff? And how dare we imagine that we should close our borders and send those folks home? So we must demand positive action in Congress right now about DACA. We have to demand it. And five, Tuesday is our primary. Do not stay home. Go out and vote. And if you have a friend or relative who you think might stay home, call them and bug the heck out of them and tell them to get out there and vote. Heck, hell, you decide. We know how to be in times of emergency. We know how to knock on someone's door and say, "Do you have milk?" We know how to take sandwiches up flights of stairs when the storm comes. We knew how to rebuild after Sandy. We knew how to rebuild after Katrina. We know how to build after all of these storms with new names. And we know how to care for our beloved because they're vulnerable and sick or scared. We know how to show up. This is an emergency, middle family. We gotta do what we gotta do. In case of emergency, not hatred. In case of emergency, not terror. In case of emergency, not bigotry. In case of emergency, not apathy. In case of emergency, revolutionary love. Amen.
Hello, my name is Jeff Mummert, and I'm here to ask you to join the Movement for Revolutionary Love here at Middle Church. I was supposed to be up here with my husband, Carlos Pinheiro, but when I promised Jackie that we would do this, I had forgotten that he had already made plans to visit his mother, who's recovering from surgery in Virginia this weekend. So you ended up with the boring white half of us, not the more interesting, more interesting Latino half. So be that as it may. We want to tell you why we are members of Middle Church and why we support Middle Church programs through our time and our financial resources. And one of those reasons is that Middle acts in the name of revolutionary love for social justice. And that became very apparent to us again this week when the current administration announced they were rescinding support for the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals program, or DACA. Many of you know that my husband Carlos is an immigrant from Venezuela. And we have an amazing niece, Daniela, who was brought here by her parents when she was 2 years old, and this is the only country she's ever known. Danielle is an amazing young woman. She started working at 16 to support herself, her family, and save money for college. She maintained herself as an honor roll student in high school and got a scholarship to George Mason University, where she is currently a junior studying communications and public relations. She still works two jobs, one at a restaurant and one at a paid scholarship for the university. And somehow she still finds time to be a cheerleader for the basketball team. She is one of the most amazing, courageous, funny, bright, wonderful young women I've ever met. And so, of course, this week we were heartbroken and outraged when we heard that our government was jeopardizing her future and the future of 800,000 other young people like her. And so in times like this, we did what we always do, and that is turn to Middle Church, because we knew that Middle would be in the middle of this, no pun intended. And so Rob was at a rally in Foley Square the day that was announced. Christina took myself and a bunch of other Middle folks yesterday to a rally and march that started at Trump International Tower and marched up through the side of Central Park to make our voices heard in support not only of DACA kids, but of all immigrants who make this country great. And we looked to the Middle Church website and the Facebook page, where there are instructions actually written by a DACA youth to tell us how we can help them. And that is to make your voices heard, write a letter to the president, call your senators and your representatives, and let them know that we demand that they pass the DREAM Act before the March deadline. And so I have two asks of you today, Middle Church. One is to go to our Facebook page, to go to our website, find that information, and make your voice heard, because silence is indifference, and Daniela is counting on all of you. Secondly, I ask you to join this movement of revolutionary love here at Middle Church, because there are so many things, as Jackie just said, that we need to resist, so many things that we need to work together to find solutions for, not just immigration injustice, but racial injustice, socioeconomic injustice, LGBTQ injustice, and we've got work to do. And so if you're interested in joining the movement and you have not yet joined Middle Church, I urge you to do so now. There will be someone from the staff in the social hall near the piano afterwards who can help you understand how you can become a part of the movement. It's very easy, and we need you, so thank you.
If I could, I surely would. Just sit on the rock with Moses. We thank you for the abundance of resources and gifts you have put in each of us. Help us to be the leaders now and to guide all of those who are marginalized to the stairways, to the exits, so that we may be leaders of revolutionary love. Amen.
So glad you guys are back. You sound so good. Thank you, little choir. Thank you, Vaughn, for guest conducting today. Thank you. Did you guys hear Sniffy working a little Stevie Wonder on the organ? Mm-hmm. She be doing stuff. Many of you have family and friends that are in the wake of Irma, who have been in the wake of Harvey, know that we, the staff and I, are praying for you, consistory praying for you. Right on our website, you can click and donate to the disasters right there, the storms. It goes to UCC, United Church of Christ, our other denomination, and the money, everything is going directly to victims, directly to water, directly to repair. So feel free to do that. We tried to make it easy for you. We know how to behave in times of emergency, don't we? We know how to touch each other. We know how to cry for each other. We know how to connect with each other. We know how to find the vulnerable, how to take care of the lost, how to get people out of harm's way. We know how to behave in times of emergency because we've been there and done that. We know how to rescue each other. We know how to resuscitate each other. We know how to save each other. To save each other. This is an emergency. In case of emergency, not hatred, not violence, not wrath, not rancor. In case of emergency, revolutionary love. Amen.